At the end of last week's parsha, it looked like finally Klal Yisrael were actually going to get out of Mitzrayim. And it seemed for a moment that power was finally getting it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been working for a long time to try to convince Mitzrayim and Paro that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was real and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. And of course, the parsha begins that as Paro is sending Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, all of a sudden, in his usual fashion, Paro has a change of heart. And Paro prepares his army and he gathers his chariots and he begins to pursue Bnei Yisrael. In part, it's this strange plan, which we're not going to discuss tonight, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, turn Klal Yisrael back, move back towards Mitzrayim, almost taunting Paro. But Paro prepares his army, prepares his chariots. And in source number one, V'yechazek Hashem eslev Paro melech Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthens, or perhaps hardens Paro's heart. V'yirdof achrei Bnei Yisrael, and he chases Bnei Yisrael. V'bnei Yisrael yoitzim b'yad ramah. And the Jewish people went out with an upraised and outstretched hand, with their arms raised high. What does that mean? Rashi explains, not on the page in front of you. Bigvura gedola umeforsemes. With awesome strength, which was revealed for all to see. In other words, it sounds like there was a certain confidence the Jewish people had. Svarno, perhaps piggybacking off of Rashi, said that was part of what Paro's intention was in chasing after them. He saw that they thought, we left Mitzrayim, we've got big numbers, there's no way Paro is going to bring us back. And Paro prepares his army and says, after his change of heart, he says, you don't understand. I have trained soldiers. You may have the numbers, but if I decide to bring you back, you're coming back. The Ramban understands the Yad Ramah more figuratively, that they went out, so to speak, again with banners and songs and celebration. And it was all to prove that not for a second did they ever think that they were coming back. So whether it was some type of display of their physical might or their confidence, or perhaps a misplaced confidence, but Paro decided he's going to chase after Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael went out biyad rama. Unkelus begins to reveal to us a secret. And Unkelus writes in source number two, he says, V'takif Hashem yasliba de Paro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthened Paro's heart, Malka de Mitzrayim, V'radaf basar Bnei Yisrael, and he chased after Bnei Yisrael, U'Bnei Yisrael nafkin b'reish galei. What does that mean, Beresh Galei? Now, even the Pashup shot of what Unkelus is saying, Beresh Galei, is perhaps hard to understand. Resh usually means Resh. Resh Galei with an uncovered head, they forgot their yarmulkes in Mitzrayim. What's Resh Galei? Right? Does it mean that they held their heads up high, they weren't hiding themselves? Maybe that's the confidence, that's the Yad Ramah. But there's an unbelievable secret that I want to explore tonight contained in the words of Unkelus. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos about a very frightening period in Jewish history. There was a time in Jewish history where some rabbis more or less gave up on the continuity of Torah. And said it's just not going to last. It's not shayach. It's not realistic. There's too much chorban going on all around us, and Torah is not going to survive. Says the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Ches, in source number 3. Tanu Rabbanon, kishenichnasu rabboseinu lekerem biyavne, amru asida Torah shetishtakach miYisrael. The rabbis came to the conclusion that the Torah is going to be forgotten. And the truth is, the Nevi'im predicted it. And we see it happening around us. They saw the Chorban taking place around them. They saw Klal Yisrael entering into various stages of exile. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says in Amos, Hine yomim ba'im ne'um Hashem Elokim. Days are coming as theirs. If Yishlachti Rav Bar, there's going to be this awesome starvation for spirituality. Lo Rav Lelecha, Shama Lamayim, Kim Lishmoa as Devar Hashem. The word of God is impossible to find anywhere in the world. People are going to be starving. And starving means that you don't have access to it, right? If you're hungry and you have food, so eat it. But people are starving because they don't know where to find the Dvar Hashem. In other words, the tzaddik and the chacham of the generation were predicting this unbelievable yerida in Torah to the point Torah will be forgotten. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai got up in that moment and he said, Chas v'shalom, to ever, ever, ever give up in this way. Tani Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Chos v'shalom shetishtakach Torah miYisrael. God forbid to believe for a second that Torah will ever be forgotten. You can quote me all the psukim you want in the Navi, but I have a pasuk in Chumash. He said, "Shenemar ki lo sishachach mi pi zaro," that the Torah will not be forgotten mi pi zaro, from the mouth and from the lips of his descendants. In other words, it's Hashem's prediction that the Torah will be transmitted from one generation to the next. It'll never be lost entirely. Why did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai pick this pasuk? So if you open up Rabbi Nachman of Breslov's magnum opus, Likutei Moran, to the very, very beginning, the Hakdama, Rabbi Nachman reveals to us an unbelievable secret. You have to understand, being in the presence of Rabbi Nachman, it was this endless stream of Torah thought. And you never knew exactly when Rabbi Nachman was going to share something entirely novel, things that are so obvious once he points them out, but until you see them, you never in a million years would find them. And when Rabbi Nachman was printing the Likutei Maran, he put this piece at the very, very beginning as a way of explaining the creativity, the genius of Rabbi Nachman. And in very many ways, Rabbi Nachman in so many ways is a continuation of the spirit of Rishon Bar Yochai. He writes in source number 4, Lechu chazum befalos Hashem, hisgalus nifla misod gedulas hatana aloki Rishon Bar Yochai. I want to talk to you, says Rabbi Nachman, about the wondrous nature, the greatness of Rishon Bar Yochai. The one who in that Gemara that we just read stood up and said, don't you dare say that Torah will ever be forgotten from the Jewish people. It's a misunderstanding of what Torah is. It's a misunderstanding of who the Jewish people are. It's a misunderstanding of our relationship with Torah. Says Rabbi Nachman, I want to reveal to you the wonders of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai was the one hivtiach shelo tishtakach Torah miYisrael al yado. He was the one who was the guarantor for Torah. And when we think about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, of course we think about the Zohar, the Holy Zohar. The awesome mysteries and the secrets of the Torah. That's what keeps the Torah going, maybe more than anything else. Because if you read the Torah as just a history book, so eventually it gets old. If you read it as ancient laws, maybe we become more progressive. Maybe those ideas are no longer relevant in Tav Shin Pei in 2020. But if you can uncover the deeper dimension in every letter, every word, every pasuk of Chumash, so then the Torah becomes eternal. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the one who said, I will guarantee, I will take care of the Torah. K'muvuar b'Zohar, as Rabbi Shimon himself wrote in the Zohar, in the third line, Bahai Chibura. With this work, with this book, Di'ihu Sefer HaZohar, Yifkun Ba Min Galusa. I will get you out of Galus. I will bring you to a state of redemption and take you out of the world of exile. So said Rabbi Nachman, look at what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was hinting to in this pasuk that he quoted from Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph. Va'ata bo'u re'ei v'havein. Come and see and understand deeply. Niflos nistoros shel Torasenu HaKadosha. The wonders of the Torah. Ki al kein samach Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai atzma zeh pasuk. Why did he pick this pasuk? Ki lo si shachach mi pi zaro. Says Rabbi Nachman, ki be'emis b'zeh ha-pasuk ba'atzma merameis v'nistor sod hazeh. Because this pasuk hints to the fact that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai will be the guarantor of the Torah. He saw himself in this pasuk. How did he see himself in this pasuk? Where it's bolded in source number 4. Shal yidei zaro shel Yochai. It will not be forgotten. What does the pasuk say? Mi pi zaro. From the mouth of his children, his descendant. Whose descendant? From the descendant of Yochai. What do we call Rabbi Shimon so often? How do we sing about him on Lag BaOmer? We don't even call him by Shimon. We just say Bar Yochai. He's the son of someone else. And that's hinted to in our pasuk. That Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai saw himself in this pasuk. If you look, second bolded line, ki sofei tevos shazeh pasuk, because the last letters of this phrase, ki lo si shachach mi pi zaro, look at the last letters, it spells out Yochai. It'll not be forgotten from the mouth of his descendant. Whose descendant? The one who's in the pasuk, Yochai. Shimon ben Yochai. Heim osios Yochai. And that's what the pasuk is hinting to, and that's how Rabbi Shimon had the courage to stand up and say, I'll take care, I'll make sure the Torah is not forgotten. With my Sefer Zohar, the Torah will never be forgotten. It's interesting, Rav Moshe Wolfson points out that the gematria of this phrase, ki lo si shachach mi pi zaro, is exactly gematria bereshis bara elokim. In other words, I'm going to make sure that the Torah is strong, right, from beginning to end. Mamish Merameis to the starting point of the Torah. And Bereshis Bara Elokim, right? Three words, you have a chazaka, dot, dot, dot. The Torah is going to go on forever. The Torah will forever go on. So with this introduction to the world of Rishon Bar Yochai, we come to the Sefer Degel Machaneh Ephraim in source number 5. Now, I have to say, I've had the schus this year to teach Degel Machaneh Ephraim in Shul on Shabbos and in NYU on Thursday. But this, I've been waiting to teach this piece the whole year. Because the Degel Machaneh Ephraim reveals to us the secret that Unkelus was hinting to earlier in our parsha. Again, let's go back. What did the pasuk say? It finally looked like Klai Yisrael were finally going to get out of Galus. Finally get away from Paro. And Paro all of a sudden hardens his heart and he comes chasing after Klal Yisrael. But Bnei Yisrael are going to be Yoitzim B'Yad Ramah with an outstretched hand. And Unkelish translated Yad Ramah as Bereish Galei. Says the Degel Machaneh Ephraim, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, Ephraim of Sudokov, Rav Moshe Chaim Ephraim of Sudokov. He writes in source number 5. He quotes the Gemara that we just learned. He quotes the Zohar's courageous statement that with this book, the Jewish people will survive exile and return to redemption. And then he says, that's what it means, Bnei Yisrael Yotzim. Bnei Yisrael will go out. Go out from where? Go out from Galus. We'll get out of this mess called Galus and come to Mashiach. And how will we do it? Bereish Galei. Look what he writes where it's bolded. Bereish is Rashi Tevos, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That it's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Galei, who reveals the secrets of Torah. Kishiyasgala Sifro HaKadosh Sefer HaZohar, Oz Bido Yifkon Min Galusa. It's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai who helps us to be Yoitzim B'Yad Ramah, to have the confidence when power looks like he's going to drag us back one more time. We have to look more deeply into the Torah. We have to attach ourselves to even deeper tzaddikim, to greater tzaddikim, to make sure that we can find ourselves in a place called Geula, not get stuck, chas v'shalom, in this negative experience called Galus. But there's someone else, there's another tzaddik, who I want to speak about and really just analyze one little nekud of his life, who I've been thinking about a lot recently, who's also hinted to in this pasuk, who's very much a continuation of the thinking of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, a tzaddik who revolutionized Judaism for every single person in this room and for everyone in the world, and that is Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, the holy Baal Shem Tov. As many of you know, I had the schus more recently to go to Ukraine for the first time, to spend Shabbos in Mezhbush, to literally be walking in the footsteps of the Baal Shem Tov, to daven in his shul, to stand in the spot where his house once was, the home in which Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, his great-grandson, was born, to be in Berdichev, to be in Uman, to be in Breslov, to be in Hadich, where the Baal HaTanya is buried, to literally walk mamish in the footsteps of the tzaddikim. And if you've never had that opportunity, I bless all of you, you should be zochet to have that opportunity, because it's really life-changing. It's really unbelievable to be in a puppet on the other side of the world. You're going to Ukraine to go to daven by some kfarim, some graves. But these makomos HaKadoshim are so alive. To stand in that place, to be in Mezhbush for Shabbos, it's very, very hard to put it into words. So I thought a lot about that trip, and I'm still processing a lot of it. And I've been thinking a lot about the Baal Shem Tov, because Baal Shem Tov is the greatest mystery. If you saw Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidus, is such a mystery. We know so little about him, and yet we know so much about him. And his Talmidim and his Talmidei Talmidim have transformed our whole connection to Yiddishkeit. Just think about it for a second. No matter how much Hasidus you've learned, no matter how Hasidus you consider yourself or not, but just think about it for a second. What would our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu be if not for the Baal Shem Tov and everything that came after him? Whether you realize it or not, we've all been tremendously influenced by his thinking, by his worldview. What would Shabbos look like? What would davening be? What would our understanding of a pasuk in Chumash be? What would I talk about Thursday night? I mean, what would Chanukah look like? Purim's coming up. What is Purim without Chassidus' understanding of Megillas Esther? Megillas Esther, the whole Indian of being Megala Hester, to uncover the secrets, just in the very name of Megillas Esther. There are so many secrets. And all of that is the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. The Hashpa that he had in the world. What would our world look like without the Baal Shem Tov? The holy Piazetzner Rebbe, Hashem should avenge his blood, died at the hands of the Nazis in 1943. We have a small journal that he left us, a very personal biography, an autobiography, a spiritual diary. And he writes in this volume called Tzav Zeiruz in source number 6 in Os Yud Beis, he's explaining a line from the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, that one of the ways that we can acquire Torah is makir es makomo, know your place. Know your place, makir es makomo, recognize your place. Maybe it's a lesson in humility, not to overstep, know your place in Torah. Know who's entitled to Paskin Ashayla. There's a lot of different ways to understand what Makiris Makomo is saying to us. But said the Piazetzner Rebbe, Makiris Makomo means make your place known in the world. Not for fame or fortune, for kavod or for publicity, but make a difference in the world. And look what he writes. Have osa upoel ba'olam v'hanek lo mituvcha at she tamid makomcha ba'olam yehei nikar. Do so much good in the world that you leave such a mark on the world from your goodness that your place is forever recognized in the world. Ki ha'im makom ha'avos ha'neviim v'shar tzadikim zatzal gam ata lo nikar ba'olam. Do we not have a sense of Avram Avinu? Now, we never met Avram Avinu. We never met Sarah Imenu. We never met Yitzchak or Yaakov. We never met Rivka Rachel or Eliyahu. We never met the Baal Shem Tov. We never met the Vilna Gaon. We never met the Chafetz Chaim. And yet these people, when we talk about them, with the love and the reverence that we have for them, they're alive. Moshe Rabbeinu is real to us. His mark is still felt in the world. And then, of course, the Pia Zetzna Rebbe, the Holy Rebbe of Pia Zetzna, writes, Ve'eich haya ha'olam shamem lu lo haya ba ha'bal shem tov zatzal. How desolate and empty would the world be? How shallow would our Yiddishkeit be if not for the revolution and the innovation of the Baal Shem Tov? And that's what it means, makir es makomo. Be a chiddush in the world. Like the story I mentioned last week about the Sfas Emes' little boy in his crib. And his grandfather said, look at this chiddush. This child's going to be an unbelievable chiddush. Every one of us is a chiddush. Every one of us is new in the world. And we have new things to bring to the world. So imagine, says the Pia Zetzner Rebbe, what would our world look like had there never been a Baal Shem Tov? The Baal Shem Tov wrote a famous letter to his brother-in-law. We say, usually, the Tzaddikim explained that there are three letters that we have that are for sure from the Baal Shem Tov, authentic letters from the Baal Shem Tov. There are other letters which may have been from the Baal Shem Tov, and there's some discussion about it. But the most famous of those letters was printed by the student of the Baal Shem Tov, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, of Yaakov Yosef HaKohen of Pol Noah, in 1781. And in this letter, the Baal Shem Tov describes a conversation that he had with Mashiach. A conversation that he had with Mashiach in the year 1746. The Baal Shem Tov was born in 1698. He passed away in 1760. So in 1746, the Baal Shem Tov had the following conversation with Mashiach. And I present to you, obviously, an English translation from Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan. Source number 7. On Rosh Hashanah of the year 1746, 5507, I performed by means of an oath an elevation of soul to the higher spiritual realms as known to you. He's writing to his brother-in-law, Rav Gershon Kitover. I did something to have some type of out-of-body experience, as is known to you. I guess they knew how to do these kind of things. And I saw wondrous things I had never seen before. That which I saw and learned there is impossible to convey in words, even face-to-face. Meaning, my dear brother-in-law, even if I came to you and I tried to explain it to you, don't think it's getting lost in my letter and I'm not able to, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Trust me, if I sat with you forever, I couldn't explain to you what it is that I experienced in those higher realms. I saw innumerable souls, both living and dead. By the way, open up the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch says, every time we daven, we're supposed to have some degree of hispashtus hagashmi, some type of out-of-body experience. You read about this and you think, like, this is an impossibility. But there are ways, and there's Jewish meditation, there are ways to have some type of, again, maybe not to travel as high as the Baal Shem Tov traveled, but every one of us can ascend a little bit above our bodies. I saw these souls, living and dead, fleeting back and forth, going from one universe to another. Their state of joy was so great that lips cannot express it. I can't even begin to tell you the simcha of the world beyond this world, and the physical ear is too gross to hear it. I don't have the words to say it, you don't have the ear to hear it. You know, you had to be there, kind of, to imagine what I saw. I ascended from level to level until I entered the chamber of the Mashiach. He went to the Heichal of Mashiach. There's a place the Sfarim talk about, the Sifrei Kabbalah talk about, the Heichal Mashiach. And I asked the Mashiach, when will the Master come? Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi met up with Eliyahu Navi, and he said, Nu, when's Mashiach coming already? So the Baal Shem Tov went to Mashiach himself and said, Nu, what's the story? When are you coming already? 1746, he's talking to him. When are you coming? And he answered, now there's a few parts to the answer, but I want to focus on just this first part of the answer. This is the part we need for tonight. Mashiach answered, by this you shall know, in the time when your teachings will become public and revealed in the world, and your wellsprings will burst forth to the farthest extremes. When the Baal Shem Tov's Torah spreads outward to the whole world. My friends, I was just in Mezhbuz. It's this little shtetl in Ukraine. It's this little nothing place on planet Earth. Right? To think that the Baal Shem Tov would become what he's become, or to become anything, is an unbelievable chiddush. And here he is talking to Mashiach, and he says, your Torah is going to conquer the whole world. And when it does, then I'll come. Then Mashiach's going to come. Who would have imagined? You think the Baal Shem Tov in his little hut in Mezhbush could have imagined that a bunch of Jews, men and women, would be sitting here on a Thursday night in Teaneck, New Jersey, studying his life, learning his teachings, trying to live his messages, right? But that's what Mashiach told them. When it goes to Teaneck, and when it goes to here, and when it goes to there, when it spreads to all the corners of the earth. Maybe it's the Lubavitch Rebbe's Chabad houses all over the world. Maybe that's part of helping the Baal Shem Tov's Torah, the wellsprings, to spread outward. I had a student in my office in YU today. He was telling me, I hadn't caught up with him in a while. He told me he spent some time, he traveled with his father. They were traveling different parts of the world. And they spent the Shabbos in Amsterdam. He said he's a Sephardi kid. He said, Rabbi, he said the Shabbat in the Chabad house in Amsterdam was the best Shabbat I ever had in my life. And I said, why? What was it? And he started telling me about all the different Jews he met and how amazing the Chabad rabbi was there. Right? And this is a person who, you know, you would imagine you go to the Chabad house to get something, you know, kosher to eat. But he felt a connection to Hashem there in an unbelievably deep way. Because when we're able to recognize that Hashem is there, and Hashem is there, and Hashem is there, and you spread the deeper teachings of Torah and Chassidus and Pnimius HaTorah to the farthest recesses, the most extreme places in the world, to believe that yes, even there we can build Torah, then Mashiach says, then I'm ready to come. This was the conversation that the Baal Shem Tov had with Mashiach, and this was the letter he wrote to his brother-in-law, Rav Gershon Kitover, again from 1746, first published about 20 years after the passing of the Baal Shem Tov. So we come back to the Degel Machane Ephraim. Ubnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Ramah. We learned that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai made a guarantee. I'm going to take the Jewish people out of exile in the merit of the Zohar. But the Baal Shem Tov and Chassidus took the Zohar, took that lofty world of Kabbalah and brought it down and made it accessible to every single person, as we're going to talk about for the rest of the shir. Says the Degel Machane Ephraim, when the Baal Shem Tov was told by Mashiach, when you spread outward, then Mashiach will come. Then Geula will take place. Writes the Degel Machane Ephraim again in source number 8. What did Unkelus tell us? Biyad Ramah, Bereish Galei. What was the first pshat we learned? Bereish is Rashi Tevos, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Says the Degel Machane Ephraim, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. He's writing about his grandfather in a little shtetl called Mezhbush, somewhere in Ukraine. And he's writing it again. He's not writing it in 2020 where we can already see the fruits of this prediction. He was predicting, he was believing what his grandfather told him that Mashiach had said to him. Bereish is Rashi Tevos, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem. Bereish, Rashi Tevos, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem. Although some Sfarim bring it a little bit differently. Some Sfarim bring it, Rabbi Yisrael ben Sarah. His mother's name was Sarah. Okay? So Rabbi Yisrael ben Sarah, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem, Galei, when he is revealed to the world. Hainu, where it's bolded. When his Torah is revealed and his wellsprings spread outward, then we'll finally say goodbye to Paro once and for all. No matter how strong Paro's heart is, no matter how many chariots he has, no matter how much he chases, but when we attach ourselves to the deeper dimensions of Torah. The Lubavitcher Rebbe once said, it's printed in the third volume of Likutei Sichos, he said, why are these hints to these great tzaddikim dafka in Unkelus? Why is it in the Targum? Right? Why is it in the Targum Unkelus, the Aramaic translation of Chumash, that we find Bereish Galei, with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai will be redeemed, with Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem will be redeemed? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe was a master at seeing, again, also the deeper dimensions. He said, because Aramaic is the translation of things. It's the interpretation of things. And that's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was a master of, interpreting things. That's what we saw Baal Shem Tov was a master of, interpreting things. It's all how you touch it up. It's all how you see it in a deeper dimension. And I'll add to that, Dafka Aramaic, because that was the language of what? Of the average person. That was the language of the regular people. A lot of people weren't even well-versed in Lashon HaKodesh. Aramaic was the language of the regular people. As the Baal Shem Tov himself writes, actually, in one place in a commentary on Pirkei Avos, why certain Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos are not in Hebrew but in Aramaic, because they're speaking to, so to speak, the Balabatim, to the regular people who were not well-versed in Hebrew. So I want to ask ourselves, what was the greatness of the Baal Shem Tov? What was so great about the Baal Shem Tov? Now obviously, like those who are learning Daf Yomi just had recently in Brachos, the Gemara tells a story of someone who was saying all sorts of praises about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were davening Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora, and they were going on and on with different praises of Hashem. And when they finished, someone turned to them and said, oh, are you done now? You've said all the possible praises of God? And then he rebuked him. He said, we only say the ones that Moshe gave us Rishus to say. Moshe allowed us to say, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. Don't add your own. Because if you add your own, it looks like, well, I'm going to say all the praises of God. And when I finish, then I've said everything. So sometimes saying less is more. Right? So lahavdil, but also in a very real way. By tzaddikim, it's the same thing. If we try to talk about the Baal Shem Tov, it's endless what we could possibly want to say about the righteousness of this holy person, about the tzidkus and the scholarship of this holy person. It's endless. And we don't know anything about the Baal Shem Tov. The whole thing is a mystery. The whole world of the Baal Shem Tov is a mystery. But I want to focus on one nekuda about the Baal Shem Tov, and that's his ability to love unconditionally and to lift people up. Rav Aaron of Karlin, in source number 9. Now, this piece has come to life for me since my trip, and I'll tell you why. There was a Jew on our trip, he wasn't really on our trip, a Yid from Eretz Yisrael, Dovi knows him well. We like to call him Rav Moshe from Mezhbush. He's actually from Yerushalayim, right? But his name is Rav Moshe. I still don't know his last name. You know his last name? We're still figuring out his last name. He apparently wrote 7-8 books on the Baal Shem Tov, 7 or 8 Sfarim on the Baal Shem Tov. This Jew, we spent Shabbos in, like I told you, in Mezhbush. Thursday night, this Yid is standing by the Kotel davening Maariv. And all of a sudden, he gets this, he said, I'm davening Maariv, and I keep, in my head, I just keep thinking, Mezhbush, Mezhbush, Mezhbush. Late Thursday night. He finishes davening with a Mezhbush people, spending Shabbos in Mezhbush, we got this whole chevra, and all of a sudden, this Yid shows up, and he joins us for Shabbos. He joins us for the Suda Friday night, this Leibedik Geshmaki Yid, really awesome Yid. And he spent all of Shabbos with us, a fascinating guy, the sweetest person, just an amazing person, really a beautiful, beautiful Jew. He had been to Mezhbush, he said, 35, 36 times for Shabbos. And he got it in his mind, he was in the mood to go to Mezhbush. He felt he needed to be by the Baal Shem Tov for Shabbos. So he went to Mezhbush where the Baal Shem Tov is buried, where the Dagon Achon Ephraim is buried, where many tzaddikim are lived and are currently resting. So this Rav Moshe told me over Shabbos at one point, he said, I'll tell you a story. He said, on one of my earlier trips to Mezhbush many years ago, 15, 20 years ago, he said, I met this Russian Jew. And he said, this fellow knew that I was very interested in the Baal Shem Tov. He's a Chassidish guy, but he was researching a lot about the Baal Shem Tov. So he said, I'll tell you something very interesting about the Baal Shem Tov. This Russian Jew said, who was spending some time, he was living in Mezhbush, he was visiting in Mezhbush, I'm not sure exactly what the circumstances were. He said, but I saw something really interesting in Mezhbush that has to do with the Baal Shem Tov, and I think you'd find it very interesting. He said, I noticed that Friday afternoon, Erev Shabbos, in the Beis HaKvaros, in the Beis HaChaim, in the cemetery where the Baal Shem Tov is buried. Now there's like this nice building over the Baal Shem Tov, but it used to be more open. He said, I noticed that on Friday afternoon, sometimes there would be animals roaming through the Beis HaChaim. In particular, he said, I saw on numerous occasions that a dog or dogs would run through the Beis HaChaim, and as they would run past the kever of the Baal Shem Tov, they would stand up on their hind legs, they would get up from all fours, and they would run by on their back two legs. And he mentioned it. He just mentioned this to me. He thought it was an unusual Friday afternoon. As it was getting close to Shabbos, I saw that animals would run past the Baal Shem Tov and they would walk up on their back two legs. Now, when Rav Moshe told me this story, I was fortunate enough to know exactly what I think he was being meramis to. Take a look at source number 9, the Beis Aaron of Karlin. I don't know a lot of Torahs from the Rav Aaron of Karlin, but this one I know. Parshas Bo. Shamati Omrim B'Shem HaBaal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Zechusei again aleinu v'al kol Yisrael. Asher pam achas kibel Shabbos al hasadeh. One time the Baal Shem Tov made Shabbos in a field. He was traveling, like he always was. Baal Shem Tov was all over the place. He was in Nistor. He used to travel all over the place. So Baal Shem Tov was traveling one time. It was Friday afternoon. It was time for Shabbos. So what do? He wasn't going to make it to the next town. He built himself a little Erev in this field. He set up shop for Shabbos. And he started to be makabel Shabbos in a field. V'hayisham tzon, and there were some animals, there were some sheep in the field, Rom al pnei asada, who were grazing in the field. V'higbiu b'shas maisa es ragleim harishonim lamala, and the sheep, as the Baal Shem Tov was being mekabel Shabbos in the field, the sheep stood up on their hind legs, v'amdu rak al shnei ragleim achronim kamidas ish, they stood up like a person. What's the pshat? Varnav Karlin said, I've heard from different tzaddikim, Tamo v'nimuko imo, that the explanation is, Machmas shekidesh es kol ha'olam, v'hel l'bishas maisa es kol ha'olam l'mekor ha'rishon. The presence of the Baal Shem Tov was so powerful, especially as he was Makabal Shabbos. Shabbos is bringing everything to its place. Al yetze ish me'makomo b'yom ha'Shabbos. Everything has its place on Shabbos. So imagine being in the Eruv, so to speak, of the Baal Shem Tov for a Shabbos. Those animals, as the Baal Shem Tov lifted up the world, so animals also got lifted up. They became a little bit more human. And instead of walking around on all fours, they would walk around on their hind legs. Hagam she'ein behem das, even though animals don't have understanding, they didn't know what they were doing. Mikol makom kevan shema'at hachiyos, hamalubash behem. The spirit of life, the little bit of life that's within an animal. It's not like a neshama of a person, but the little bit of life force that's in an animal, nis'ala l'makora harishon, was lifted up to its original source, memela higbiwas atzmam. So says Rav Aaron of Karlin, if that's true for the hashba of the Baal Shem Tov on an animal, so a Jew who has the neshama, anachnu am b'nei Yisrael, achas kam v'kama, how much more so? And again, it's a feeling that I can tell you I experience being in the presence of the Baal Shem Tov for a Shabbos. Having Shabbos near the place where he's buried. Imagine being in the presence of the Baal Shem Tov in his lifetime. He had the ability to lift people up. The tzaddikim would say that if a person faints, one of the ways to wake a person up when they fainted is to whisper their name in their ear. They say the Baal Shem Tov, whose name was Yisrael, so to speak, had the name of all of us, B'nai Yisrael. And so to speak, when the Baal Shem Tov saw we were all becoming spiritually sleepy, his name was whispered in all of our ears. And he gives us strength and he wakes us up. He allows us to be more connected. To be connected to ourselves in a deep way. The Ava, the love that the Baal Shem Tov represented, is so, so powerful. I'm going to have to, for the sake of time, I'm going to have to skip over source number 10 from the Lubavitch Rebbe. Take a look at source number 8. An amazing teaching from the Baal Shem Tov. Look at the love that the Baal Shem Tov had for each and every one of us. Amar Maran Harivash, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov said to one of his Talmidim, where it's bolded, as hakal shebekalim, the lightest of the light, the weakest of the weak, the shvachest yid in the world, the lowest Jew in the world, hapachos shebepchusim, asher hu bedaitacha. He said to one of his Talmidim, whoever you consider the lowest Jew to be, ani oev oso yoser min masha to oev as bincha yechidcha. I love the shvachest, most broken, sinful Jew. I love him more than you love your one and only son. That was the love that the Baal Shem Tov had for the Jewish people. The Baal Shem Tov had such unbelievable heart, such unbelievable eyes. They tell a story that one time in the city of Brod, there was this big gon, this misnagdish gon. His name was Rav Chaim Sanzer, not the Divrei Chaim, not Rav Chaim of Sanz. Rav Chaim Sanzer was this misnagid, strong misnagid against the Baal Shem Tov. So one time, he ruled on a shayla. A woman brought him a shayla, the kashrus of a chicken. He said it was kosher. And every night before he went to bed, he used to review his piskei halacha from the day. He thought about it a little more and he said, I messed up. I told you the chicken was kosher, the chicken wasn't kosher. So he started to think, what did I do wrong today? What could I have possibly done wrong that a Kodesh Baruch Hu caused me to err in this psak? And he said, you know what I forgot to do today? He said, people went out to fight against the Baal Shem Tov and his new ways. And I didn't go out against the Baal Shem Tov today. That was my Avera. That's why I got messed up. So I need to go. I need to do tshuva. I need to go fight the Baal Shem Tov. So he went outside and he started collecting rocks to throw at the Baal Shem Tov. That was going to be his tshuva. He comes to the Baal Shem Tov. And he walks into the Baal Shem Tov. And he sees the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov looks at him. And there was something in the way the Baal Shem Tov looked at him that he said, what am I doing? And he started telling the Baal Shem Tov, I came here really to throw rocks at you. Because I know there's a lot of opposition to you. And I'm part of that opposition to you. And I felt that I made a wrong psak halacha today because I didn't oppose you enough. And I don't believe that your ways are emistic. And the Baal Shem Tov said to him, don't worry, first of all, I know the halacha you paskined. And I'm going to tell you now why it was correct. So first he explained to him why the chicken was actually kosher. He was very impressed by that. And he was so impressed by the Baal Shem Tov, he decided, he took the rocks out of his pocket and he put them down on the floor. The Baal Shem Tov went over to the rocks. He picked up the rocks and he said, these holy rocks don't belong on the floor. And he started picking up the rocks and kissing the rocks. He said, rocks which were gathered with such holy intentions. Rav Chaim Sanzer wanted to throw the rocks at the Baal Shem Tov. But he had such a love for even a Jew who himself was admitting, I am so wrong. The Baal Shem Tov was still able to say, even with everything you've done wrong, I see the good in it. I see your intentions were pure. Who can think like that? But the Baal Shem Tov said it, Bepem Mali, Hakal Shebekalim, Hapachos Shebechusim, the lowest of the lowest Jew I love more than you love your beloved child, than you love your spouse, than you love your parent. That's the love that I feel for every single Jew in the world. What got me thinking about this shir and this aspect of the Baal Shem Tov was a piece that I saw a couple of months before the trip. And that's in source number 12 in a sefer called Birchas Av in Parsha Shmini. He describes three different tzaddikim who had an amazing outlook on the Jewish people. I want to do them in reverse. I want to go 3, 2, 1. So let's start from the end of source 12, Gimel. Three different tzaddikim who were known for seeing Jews in a good way. And I realized something about the Baal Shem Tov I never understood before. He says, Gimel, HaRav HaKadosh Mi Berditchev, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev. What was his way of seeing the good in Jews? Shera es hara, when he saw a Jew doing something bad, hipech es hara al yidei saniguria shalo letova. The Berditchever would see you doing something bad, and he would explain why really what you're doing is good. The famous story of the Jew smoking on Shabbos and trying to be malam mitzvos on him. The story of the guy fixing his wagon wheel with his tefillin on, getting all greasy and saying, wow, look Hashem, how Jews put on tefillin even to change a wagon wheel. As opposed to saying, wow, this guy's a bum, he walked out in the middle of Shacharis, right, to fix his wagon wheel. He always took the raw, the negativity, and he turned it into something good. That's one way to see good by Jews. Go back up one step. Beis. Bechinas harav HaKadosh Reb Zusha, the Heiliger Rebbe Reb Zusha. The Rebbe Reb Zusha of Annapolis had a different way. Shelo ra'a klal ra'a b'Yisrael. Reb Zusha had such pure eyes that he couldn't even see the bad. He didn't have to make a story to explain why it was good. He saw so much good by Jews that the bad didn't even register by him. V'rabahem ach tov v'chesed. He only saw good. Nus, what was the level of the Baal Shem Tov? So writes the Birchas Av, he was a Holocaust survivor, Avram Baruch Fixler. He writes in that first paragraph of source number 12, Aleph, the end of that first line. V'chinas ha-Baal Shem Tov ha-Kadosh, sha'af sh'ra'a ve'hevin esachata'im, sh'chotim chal yisro. The Baal Shem Tov didn't take your negativity and try to make a story why it was really positive. The Baal Shem Tov didn't block out like Reb Zusha, he didn't even register. The negativity didn't even register. The Baal Shem Tov loved you so much that the Baal Shem Tov understood your Averos. He looked your Averos right in the face. He didn't try to make excuses for you. And Mikol Makum Ahav Osam Ahava Azakam Mavis. And he still loved you to death despite those Averos. You would think on a certain level, who's the highest Madrega here? Maybe Reb Zusha's the highest. After all, he didn't see bad at all. Maybe the Berditchever is the highest. He could take the bad and turn it into something good. But I think you have to say, if you would have asked Reb Zusha, no, who's bigger? You are the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov. You asked the Berditchever. Levi Yitzchak, who's bigger? You are the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov. So it must be the Baal Shem Tov's way was the biggest. What's the chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov? The Baal Shem Tov was able to look at a person and not make excuses for him. Dafka, in that moment when he's so sinful, when he's so broken, when he's so lowly, and say, I can look your sins right in the face and still love you to death. That was the Ava. That was the awesome love that the Baal Shem Tov had for Klal Yisrael. And that's what it means, Bereish Galei. When you're trying to get away from the paros of our lives, when we're trying to come to Geula, and we look at our world today, and sometimes it seems more broken than ever before. So how are we going to get out of here? But the Baal Shem Tov looks at us with all of our chatam, and without making excuses for us, and says, Afal Pichein, I still see something in you that's so pure and so holy. And yes, I see the Averos, but I still love you. It's still possible for me to love you. The Kav HaYashar tells an unbelievable story. I shared it in a drasha this past year, Parshas Hazinu. So some of you heard it before. I apologize. That's why I'm mentioning it. The Ramban had a student whose name was Avner who went off the derech. It's a long story. We don't have time to read it inside right now. But essentially, this Talmud of the Ramban went astray. He became a high-ranking government official. The Ramban, 1100s. Early 1200s. The Ramban's student, Avner, became a very rebellious Jew, a high-ranking official in the non-Jewish court, and he summoned the Ramban to him on Yom Kippur. He pulled him out of shul on Yom Kippur. He had the authority, the legal authority. He summoned the Ramban to him and said, I need you to come to me on Yom Kippur. Demanded that he comes to him. And he's sitting there and he's roasting a pig and eating it on Yom Kippur. Mechal Yom Kippur, eating treif, eating a pig. And he says to his Rebbe, in the most chutzpahdik way, how many averos do you think I'm doing right now? How many chiyuvei kares am I in violation of? And the Ramban said, I think it's 5. He said, nah, you don't even know how to learn. It's 6. So chutzpahdik for the Ramban, the holy Ramban. The Ramban says, I don't understand. He says, tell me, what happened to you? You were my student. You were a dedicated Jew. What happened to you? So he said, honestly, what got me to go astray was something that you once said. You were once describing how Parshas HaZinu, and it's based on something the Ramban actually writes in his commentary on Torah, it's based on a Medrash, that in Parshas HaZinu, everything is found in HaZinu. It's a miniature Parsha that's Kolel, Kola Torah Kula, and the Ramban writes, Ha Yehovah V'iyah, everything past, present, and future is found in Parshas HaZinu. And I couldn't believe such an idea. Everything that's ever going to happen in the history of the world is found in Parshas HaZinu. And it got me questioning, and I started questioning Torah, and I started questioning God. It led to all sorts of philosophical and theological struggles, to the point where I ended up giving up my Yiddishkeit. The Ramban says, I still hold it's true. Everything's there in HaZinu. So he says, well, if you're right, Rebbe, so then show me where am I found in Parshas HaZinu. I want you to show me my life in Parshas HaZinu. So the Ramban pointed to a pasuk. The Ramban revealed to him a pasuk. The Ramban says, there's a pasuk in Chumash Devarim that says, Amarti af ayem ashbisa me enosh zichram. You can see it in the third paragraph in Source 13. The end of the third paragraph. Amarti af ayem ashbisa me enosh zichram. Hashem has said, I will destroy them, and I will scatter them, and erase their name from mankind. He said, this pasuk's talking about you. He said, look at the pasuk. Af-ayem ashbisa me'enosh zichram. Look at it. Every third letter spells out your name. Af-ayem, the third letter is an aleph. Ashbisa, the third letter is a beis. Me'enosh, the third letter is a nun. Zichram, the third letter is a resh. This pasuk's talking about you. You abandoned the life of Torah mitzvah for power, for honor, for wealth. But you'll see, nothing's going to come of it. If you would have been my student, people would talk about you for generations. Makiras makomo, like we learned earlier. Leave your mark on the world. No one's going to remember you. And why do we remember this story about Avner? Because it's recorded in Torah sources. So he broke down crying and he said, Rebbe, what can I do to do tshuva? He said, the pasuk has already told you. Ashbisa me'enosh zichram. You need to be erased from mankind. You need to be forgotten. And the story is told that Avner took his paddles on a boat and he went out, he rowed out to the middle of the sea. He threw his paddles overboard and drifted out to sea, and we don't know whatever became of him. The Ramban davened for this broken soul, and the story ends in the Kava Yashar, and it's told in other Svarim as well. The Kava Yashar was a Rav in Frankfurt in the 1700s, late 1600s, early 1700s. He says that the Ramban eventually had a dream, that Avner came to him in a dream and said, thank you for davening for me. You finally were able to get me into Gehenna, to go through a cleansing process, and eventually to have a tikkun. What's the point of this story? The Lubavitch Rebbe writes in the Torah Menachem in Source 14, his Vadas from 1982. He said, when I was a kid, the Lubavitch Rebbe said, when I was a kid, I heard this story. And usually we tell this story to show the wonders of Torah, right? What an amazing thing. Look how he revealed how Avner's name was hinted to in Parshas HaZinu, Ashbisa Me'enosh Zichram. He found his name hinted to in these letters, right? It's a story to show how everything that you could possibly want to know about the world is all in the Torah. Istakel b'raisu bara alma, God looked in the Torah and created the world. That's typically how the story is told. But the Lubavitch Rebbe said, there's something else in this story. And it's very Baal Shem Tovdik. Lubavitch Rebbe writes in Source 14, in the fourth line, where it says Lamed Beis, Hinei b'sipur zeh roim davar mafli u'mavhil b'nogeya l'klolas inyan atshuva. There is an unbelievable lesson about what it means to be able to see a Jew in the right way. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov was about. That's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was about. And that's why, yes, hinted to an unkelus in this week's Parsha is a reference to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the Baal Shem Tov. Because they're the ticket to Geula. Says the Lubavitch Rebbe, B'sipur ha'nizkor le'el, Mudgash ha'shamo shel Talmud Ramban hayo, not Avner, Reb Avner. Rav Avner. Because if you go back to the Pasuk, what does it say? What's the word right before that Aleph of Avner? Amarti. What's the third letter of Amarti? It's a Resh. Said the Lubavitch Rebbe, Hashem in his Torah didn't just call him Avner, he called him Reb Avner. He called him Rav Avner. In other words, the Torah said, after everything you've done, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're still my child and I still love you. You're not just Avner, some renegade, rebellious Jew who's being cursed by the Torah on a revealed level, maybe on a deeper level. You're Reb Avner. You're Reb Avner. The essential goodness, that Talmud of the Ramban, who would have been Reb Avner, it's still true about you. That resh of the word Amarti is still true about you. That little resh is giving kavod to Avner, even in his most broken moments. And the third letter, said the Lubavitcher Rebbe, is a resh. And here's how the Lubavitcher Rebbe concludes, the last three lines. Zoso Maris. Heyos sheshov b'tshuva. Since Avner was able to do tshuva, k'mesuper, as he asked the Ramban, what should I do? Yesh trufa l'makaso. What can I do to do tshuva? And he felt that drifting out to sea was his way of fixing, of removing himself from the world, fulfilling the pasuk. Maybe he should have just done tshuva and been the Talmud of the Ramban. I'm not sure. But acher kach kiyeh ma she'amar lo Ramban, he did his tshuva, and therefore the Torah said about him, Reb Avner. But again, the Torah wasn't just responding to Avner after he did tshuva. The Torah said, all along you've been Reb Avner. In your high moments, by me, you're Reb Avner. In your low moments, you're Reb Avner. That's how the Baal Shem Tov saw Jews. As the Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin, the final source, Afal pi shechata Yisrael hu. Yisrael, that name of the Baal Shem Tov, that name that we all share, B'nai Yisrael. That even when we sin, the Baal Shem Tov says, I'm not going to explain away your sins. I'm not going to ignore your sins. I'm going to look your sins in the face and still love you. And when a Jew can do that, when we can look at ourselves in our lowest moments and still see the good in us, not without the excuses, without ignoring it, but to look at the aver and still see the good. I'm not making excuses, chas v'shalom, for our averos, but to be able to celebrate ourselves when we look like Avner, to remember that we're still Reb Avner. That's how a Jew gets out of galus. I'll just end with one word about Tu B'Shvat. Because Tu B'Shvat, when we celebrate Tu B'Shvat, right, in just a couple of days from now, Tu B'Shvat is a celebration of what? Of the rebirth of the trees. But let's be honest, the trees are dead outside. Nothing's happening yet. Rashi says in a few places in Shas, well, on the inside of the tree, the sap is rising up. Something's happening on the inside. There's some movement on the inside. But Lemaisa, we're celebrating a completely dead tree. Right? The tree looks like Avner. It's off the derech, the tree. You know, it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. But we celebrate the tree now. We celebrate the tree now as if to say, we know who you are, Be'emes tree. Afal pi shechata, even though you don't look like a tree, you're still a tree. This is Rosh Hashanah li'ilanos. We're celebrating the tree. Even though the tree is not being true to its potential. We're looking the tree. We're not waiting for the tree to come back onto the derech and to start blossoming, to start producing fruit. And then say, oh, now, once again, you're a tree. You're always a tree. Ki adam eitz asada. To be able to look at ourselves the way the Baal Shem Tov looked at us. Again, that's how we get away from power. A little bit the eye trying to share, a little bit some of the feelings I've had coming back from the Ukraine. And having had this chut to a little bit draw from that wellspring of the Baal Shem Tov. But again, Beresh Alei, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem, these were the tzaddikim who taught us how to look at ourselves. And Amir Tashem, if we can develop that eyesight to ourselves and to others, we'll be Zoch Ulav and Herbi Aminu. Shabbos. We'll daven here if we have a minion, which I hope we do. Keep going. A few more. Shukai.